Obviously, I had that in a salad, but now I'm eating a can of tuna fish and grapes.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you have yesterday? You had bananas and grapes and what?
What did I have? Some kind of club sandwich.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going
on. Okay, guys, sorry to interrupt, but who else was on? We've got Naked Dinners and the Juice Bowl represented here, so let's change the drift here a bit.
That's what comes
Naked in Dinners in the Juice Bowl.
That's Jerry.
I'm calling in the firefighters.
You're prospecting Naked Tenders in the Juice Bar. We are going to have one heck of a group.
They'll be lively, anyhow.
Well, I should know better than to leave Sharon alone while I'm not away here.
Hey, it's the guys. It's the testosterone out of Kansas.
That's not what I heard. I heard you talking when I came on, so you're going to have to stand in the corner.
Oh?
Yeah, I already heard nothing.
I'm going to hold my ground on this one. You guys, speak up. Well, JW, I'm not allowing you to talk any longer.
Okay.
Too much time has lapsed here. Okay.
You all, this world is absolutely stunning and blown apart. I can't even tell you. Sometimes I'll come to this call excited, but this time I'm nuts.
You've gotten your exercise in.
I got to go to the sum it. So today we're gonna have to sum eight the sum it. Cause
a lot.
Oh, it'll make you crazy, man. It's ooh ah. I hope all of the people that should be here are here tonight because you won't want to miss a single second of this amazing episode.
I believe that.
Okay, let's see who's on. Carpe diem. TJ.
Yes.
Complete or incomplete?
I'm at the disappoint you on this one today. I'm incomplete.
Man, TJ.
What?
Okay. I'm shocked.
Yeah. Well, don't be. I'm going to go off the charts next week.
Okay. Oh,
no. TJ's mom still likes him, I checked.
Yeah. Okay. That's acceptable. I think that's the only time you've ever been incomplete. So, JW.
Complete.
Awesome. Okay. Dream Achievers. Audrey, are you on? Not yet.
Oh, Sammo must be just kind of really, really struggling.
Yeah, I got an email. So, Jennifer. Mike Mercer. Wow.
All right. The mighty 2.5.
And Kevin has decided
retired
to sit down and go into the gallery.
Yep. So our memories and thoughts are with him because he'll be amazing. It's just another season.
And while I'm fresh on it, next week's assignment is Whiny Ken by Rick Murphy and Think and Grow Rich 1, 2, and 3.
And I'm going to give you more of an assignment, too, because there are some new pieces to the overall equipment list now that are going to be worth having and reviewing. And it's pretty easy to go through and do some evaluations with these huge, massive numbers we have on the call right now. Everybody get the in-depth attention here. It's all good.
JW and me are used to working together, so.
Well, you know, some people are born to be innovators and be out there cutting the ice for everybody else to come, and that's just sometimes their lot in life, and we salute the heck out of you for that. So let's go on to our review and a couple of different items that you've got from classwork, and then we're going to make you crazy.
Well, you're going to put something else on the homework, Jerry?
Yeah, but I'll get to that when we get to that.
Oh, okay.
So, let's see. We had our book reading. Is there anything that's significant that jumped off of the page? And you will have to raise your hands so that you don't stampede each other to come up and make your comments.
I'll be first, so TJ don't steal my thunder.
That's all right. That's one of the things I'm incomplete about. I had a rough week. Not the best excuse I didn't want to give him, but...
Well, I do feel lonely now.
Yeah. I did listen to the tape. I'm good on that one.
Okay. Well, I paid 169 was something that as far as being trying to be a leader and wanting to be a leader and talking to your people. And if you want to learn, I'll teach you. And if you want to follow, I will lead you. If you want to learn how to be a leader, I will set you up for leadership. If you want to be a player on our team, I will help you. If you just want to play, I don't have time for you. If you want to develop a serious business, then I will make a serious commitment to you. But if you just want to dabble, I will work with someone else. Think it over. I know how much I believe in you and in our business. I just need to know where you want to fit in. And,
JW, are you really that tough?
You know, Jerry, this is just honest. Yeah. I don't know if that's being tough as it is as letting somebody know, you know, I can't hang around and with you and you not do anything and let somebody else go that wants to do something. I'll come back to you when you're ready. Call me. You know, I'll stay in touch. I'm not gonna throw you out there to the wolves by yourself, but I've got to spend my time where my time's most productive.
And what does that do to them?
Well, I think it does two things. I think one of the things that it does is that it lets them know that you're serious about the business, you're passionate about the business. You're there for them if they decide they want to do it, and if they've already decided they want to do it, it's obvious anyhow. I don't think it's being all that harsh, really, when you're just telling them, hey, you know, you want to run, I'll run with you. You don't want to run, I'm not gonna force you to do something you don't want to do. It's not gonna work anyhow. But where do you want to be in 2 years from now? Where do you want to be in 5 years from now? Where do you want to be tomorrow?
All right, TJ, you get the rebuttal on this. I know that oftentimes you'll have to remain silent, but on this one you can rebut. Do you have any ideas on whether that seems too tough or not?
No, I don't think so. And I ran into that today. I went out to lunch with someone, and I'm going to sign them up. And they said, how can I make, I attracted them with, you know, I've been processing them forever, or talking to them. And finally we got through that. The average gold, I think it was $4,500, has a car and house paid for. And so he really liked that idea. I was like, yeah, you can live pretty nice on $4,500 without a car and house payment. It's really nice. So we went out to lunch, and he goes, how can I get in this thing as cheap as possible?
And then you said, it's a piece of cake. Anything under $10,000 will get you there.
Yeah, and I looked at him, and I started laughing because I knew what I was going to say. You know, and I said, really? I said, $1,500 is what you're looking at. You need to do $1,500, and I gave him the reasons why. I said, you know what? If you don't expect that out of if you don't do it yourself, how can you venture around and expect it out of someone else? And he said, you know, then we talked about the credit card and all that. I was like, do you expect to make more than $30 a month? He was like, well, yeah. Well, then I got a credit card. Let's get going.
TJ, you are turning into the man.
I got my big test this weekend, so I got to warm up for it.
That's true, you do. That was totally awesome. Well, you know, let's go through some other insights, because TJ, if you want, we can kind of troubleshoot a little bit and kind of work on where you're at, but I got some really, really cool surprises today, too. So
sounds good.
What's nice is that we will be laser focusing and still not spending any time because of the few numbers that we have here today. So what else did we pick up from the reading? Anything else?
Wealth comes from depth. Depth comes from duplication. Duplication comes from having a system. A system comes from keeping things very simple.
That's the course of my discussion for the second half.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
That seems to be in any book about MLM, whatever, multi-level marketing or anything like that. It's about a system. And the word duplication, I think, is in every book 5,000 times.
Well, and it makes common sense. It's the old adage about Henry Ford that I gave you guys today on the call.
Yeah.
That if you try to build that car by yourself, companies were building, they had individuals building cars. They started from the back, went to the front, built the whole thing bottom up. They'd make anywhere between 3 and 13 cars a year. And Henry Ford came along with interchangeable parts, and they made 1,300 in a day. It all depends on what we want to do. That if you are going to take advantage of the stupidly ludicrous time involvement, how little it is, there's a heavy price to pay up front, but once you get the motor running, you cannot kill it. And the thing just multiplies in the dark. You go to bed at night, you wake up in the morning, you're making $3,000 a month more than you were when you went to bed the night before. That is the effect of duplication and not your own effort. So that's exactly right. And everybody who wrote a book is generally somebody who did it big enough that somebody would consider buying their book. And if they all say the same thing, that's pretty profound. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't Wolfgang the one that said, don't look at what everyone top is doing. Look at what everyone top has in common.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's more reproducible. Or the unique parts, you probably can't even reproduce. That's why they're famous for their uniquenesses. But they have to do certain things to get even the opportunity to play in the top of the game. Then you add if you've got, yeah, I imagine, PG, I don't know if this has ever happened. Was there somebody who could, was like the world's only person who could ever do a trick, but they didn't have enough other stuff to support it to even make it to some of the bigger competitions?
I'll tell you what that comes in. You have people that can do all the big skills, just can't do them clean enough. They're a disaster. You can't do it, put all everything together clean, not even worth doing.
Hmm. Good stuff. Okay, you're just a treasure trove tonight, JW, so keep hitting.
Don't let anyone steal your dreams. Have you ever gone camping and used a Coleman lantern? One of the most interesting parts of the lantern is the mantle, which becomes extremely fragile after it has been lit. If bumped too hard, it will disintegrate. But when properly cared for and fueled, a mantle gives off an amazing amount of light. Our dreams are like this. They're as fragile as a Coleman lantern mantle. But an intact dream, when properly fueled and cared for, gives enormous light. Protecting the dream is your responsibility. Be careful not to let others damage or steal it.
That's a great analogy.
That is good. I like that.
Because I dig those Coleman lanterns and those silly little things. I mean, that's one of the 8 wonders of the world, those things don't break.
But see how, Gary, the older you get, the easier it is to lose that dream, too.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
Well, you get to doing the same thing. It's almost like the analogy of the flea in the jar with a lid on it. You know, you do the same thing day after day after day after day, and you get to the point of where you don't see any way out of it. So what's the point of dreaming anymore? Because all of my dreams didn't come true, so what's the point?
You know, I had a conversation with one of my good friends. We were driving around Thursday, looking for 10-year reunion sites, and we were talking about dreaming. And, you know, and he made a good point. I think he said, you know what, when people get older, start to get older, they quit dreaming. But I think they realize dreams are like for kids or whatever. So they stop dreaming, and they get, like JW said, kind of stagnant or don't try anymore.
I read something a few years back that said that most of the great accomplishments that have ever been made were done after people were something on the order of 60 years old. Most of the great inventions and all that?
Well, they're the ones that got knocked down and kept getting back up.
And here's an interesting one for you. You can well imagine in my discourse on the second half, we'll be talking some about the Pathfinder Summit. And one of the things I discovered there, there's some things that are just kicking rocking. It's very obvious, and it's very obvious what they do by what they presented. The two biggest areas of growth in NECAN North America are, we're actually about number four, our team, through these calls. And many of you probably didn't realize that, but we're right in there, four or five, somewhere in there. But the two biggest ones are Rody Creaney's group out of Utah and obviously Texas with the Pathfinder group down there. The average age in NECAN, what do you think it is?
Right under 50.
Yes, exactly.
55.
It's gray hair. And you guys are right in the ballpark at 49. The average age in those two groups, take a guess what it is.
Go ahead, JW.
Well, I don't know. I know one of them's 80, but I don't know if that's the average. I'm going to say the average age in those groups right there is going to be 61, 62.
29?
29. Is it?
Right on the button.
Hey, 29. Here.
And it actually is, I was thinking, man, that guy's got a crystal ball. It's because of what you just said, that once we began to realize how to tap into people who could still dream, those two teams began to say, why don't let's make it easy first with people who can dream and not have to go back in there and try to wiggle the dream out of somebody who's so covered up in dust they couldn't see daylight if you uncovered them, and build it with a belief system through the teams that will go and come back with them so that they can see the inevitability of it, because that population as a whole is generally waiting for the 100% no loss scenario. They get conservative in their investments. They start to say, I've got to really hang on to what I've got and not to step out. They will, and we'll get them, but we've been trying that for way too long. And what we need to do now is to take advantage of those. Plus, JW?
Yes.
Can you imagine that it's a lot more fun to be riding 10 to 12,000 a month as you're building, but residuals coming in from previous things that you did? It's a lot more fun to do that than it is to start from dead on, flat foot, scratch.
Absolutely.
So once you get this thing up and cracking, why not get it up and cracking with people who are in an age group that'll smoke? And we're gonna look at how to do that some. So that I thought was kind of an interesting point based on what you were saying, is that they don't have to overcome all that, so let's not go there and let's start reproducing faster.
Well, yeah, I talked to some of the college kids out here, and the response that I've got out of the college kids is wait a minute, you know, I went to college for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and I'm going to graduate this year and next year, and I want to use my college skills. That's what I went to school for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to use, that's what, you know, you can use your college skills and use this too. I'm not saying that you're not to use your college skills. I'm just saying that, you know, are you looking for financial freedom and wanting to help other people get the same thing?
Well, you're dealing with the second most difficult group, those that not have been knocked off their stool a bunch of times,
mm-hmm.
but people who have, remember when we talked about the under 30 millionaires? Or I don't know if I told you this last week, but I've been doing sort of a sort of a review of people who are either there or you know they're going to be all over stinking of money here before very long, and they're not very old, and it doesn't seem to bother them that there's money out there. It just is what it is. You just hook in, get it, and it's there for anybody to take. I don't know why anybody doesn't get there. There are a lot of people that don't take it, but it's just there to take. Those people, I've been asking across the board, and everyone I've asked so far, because I've had a really weird run of a lot of them, and I asked them, are you the type of person that got straight A's, or are you the type of person that lives by the old adage that says the A students work for the B students and the C students own the company? They said, yeah, we were C students. Dave marked us with ADD, we couldn't sit still, nobody wanted to give us half a second because we were nuts. We just couldn't see any value in what they were teaching. The people who go to school and get grades and go to college, they're acquiescing. They are, remember the definition of courage is, or the opposite of courage?
The opposite of courage would be fear, right?
Well, according to this definition, the opposite of courage is conformity.
Mm-hmm.
So does it... Mm-hmm. Should we be courageous, or do we need to be courageous in building our Nikan business? Absolutely. Or any other. You have to be courageous, like Kiyosaki said, to be an entrepreneur. There's no question about it. You have to have courage. In fact, John Kalinch, who was the greatest network trainer of all time when he came to Nikan after he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, that was the hallmark of everything he did and said. He sold pins that said courage on them because you have to be courageous. But if the opposite of courage is conformity, then A students in college are the least courageous.
Well, conformity is fear because they're afraid to step out and do something on their own.
Yeah, isn't that kind of interesting?
Mm-hmm. But what you're saying about the age group 29 to 30, they've already been kicked down once or twice already. Where the kids 18 to 21, 22 haven't got that far yet.
No, but that's just the average age, because you're going to have the higher ages. You got to have a bunch of young ones to counteract those higher numbers to get an average that low.
Hey, I was a C student, so.
And, DJ, you're going to make so much more money than the people around you. You just know it, don't you?
Yeah.
And don't you sometimes, like the kid you were just sitting down and talking to, you're wondering, you know, the world to me looks like fries on the left and shakes on the right, and you're saying the world is Christmas cactus and poinsettias, and it looks so different to them than it does to you. It's almost ridiculous.
Oh, I
see. What are you seeing? And that's exactly why you were a C student. Not because you were by any means not able to pick up concepts and run with them. It was because you're going, I don't know what you guys are seeing, but it sure don't seem important to me.
Yeah, it's funny, yeah. Just picking up concepts, I'm sure for most of these C students is easy. I think that's why I've caught on the Nikan so fast.
Exactly, and why you catch on to how revenue is produced and why you're an owner at the age that you are and why you're in that kind of a position is that you don't see the world like... See, A students are simply those people who learned early and then perfected doing what other people want instead of what they want.
Yep.
So they're going to be people that will not probably change the world. Because they will eventually end up saying, calling up the C students and ask, or the B students and asking them if they can go to the bathroom or take their kid to the Cinderella party. They are completely and totally uncourageous. And it really throws a monkey wrench in how we look at people, because we usually will say, well, you've got to go after the A student, right? Now, A students could also be people who will own companies later, but they're generally the ones who are smart enough in their A student-ness to say, or it was inconvenient enough for them to buck the system that they just said, well, what I will do is pay attention to enough of this detail to keep people out of my hair and I can go do what I want to do, as opposed to bucking the system just because they were bored. Because a lot of those C students, I think they just buck the system just to make people mad just so they'll have something to do. And it's like my granddad said, it's just no fun to have, a battle of wits with an unarmed man. It isn't any fun. Ooh, this is good, you guys. This is good. Anything else out of that magic book of yours?
Sure is. I actually laid it down.
Or what about our CD?
TJ, you want to work on it?
Where the next three, I guess, categories of millionaires are going to come from? What was it? Knowledge, home-based businesses, and computers, digital. I think he said that, you know, now's the time for these types of businesses, these home-based businesses. I really think it is. You know, the more I start thinking about it, I was sitting in that meeting today, and I said, Carl, how many people do you think here don't like their job? He goes, I don't know. I said, I think I can safely say 50% and stand on a pretty sturdy limb. I do think the times are going to shift, you know, to more of a home, I guess we should get our English right and call them a career from the home, you know, because people are looking to spend more time with their kids and stuff, like you said. I think he's a genius, too. I like it. I like listening to him.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I thought they could have done the format a little better. That lady seemed, he never comes off as cheesy, but that lady in there came off a little cheesy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's a great one to listen to, and, man, that guy's got some credentials. My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing you said, too, was about the Fortune 500 companies. There's so many of them now that's going to direct selling.
Yeah, that really caught me. Do you know which ones or who? What are you talking about?
No.
There's a whole bunch of General Motors, Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola. Those are big companies.
They're all kind of doing the direct sales?
Yep, in one form or another.
Well, isn't General Motors doing it through the credit card thing? You know, you're building dollars towards buying a new car. That's pretty much direct dealer because you're cutting out a dealer.
No, you can go to the dealer and buy them. You just can use those dollars that you build up on the credit card towards it, like free money.
They have some way of categorizing how they're doing those direct. And did you know that Sprint, which is a big part of the neighborhood around you all, I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A big employer. That was 100% started as a network marketing company.
Yeah.
And then they turned around and bushwhacked their distributor base.
You know, I'm driving down the road all the time now, and I'm trying to figure out how to get this in my head properly, or I guess get a handle on how to, you know, people ask me, is this multi-level marketing? And I really want to say, no, this isn't what you think it is. This is not some 1960s multi-level marketing company. What we're talking about, yeah, you work for commission. You're 100% commission-based. You're building up a distribution network. I mean, so I don't know. I just wish we could throw the multi-level marketing name out somehow.
How about you call it disintermediation?
Disintermediation?
Yeah, no, that's actually a term in economics, and it scares the retailers to death.
I've never even heard of that before.
And what disintermediation means is that you're taking the intermediates out.
Little man's gone.
You go directly from the manufacturer to the end user.
Well, yeah, and what did Paul say? He said that 85% of the product is in the distribution of it.
Oh,
85% of the cost is in the distribution, or was it in the distribution?
No, it is now.
It is now.
In the distribution, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not in the production, so you can't cut production costs. So the best way now, the best model now is to lessen distribution.
Well, look at how much it costs to produce another CD or DVD to get software out in the market. Yeah. That, how much production cost is there in that?
Just to add more CDs?
Pennies to get hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's really a big hallmark of where a lot of the billionaires came from, was software distribution and pennies. But now with the internet, it doesn't cost them anything because it's being downloaded directly to somebody's house.
What does he say? It was intellectual distribution through internet distribution?
Yeah, I talked about intellectual distribution.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just see these things, the home-based career moving forward, becoming more widely accepted and away from, you know, kind of taking a full term maybe from the Amway days.
Oh, yeah, well, that's like saying I don't ever want to use a computer in my lifetime because that green screen makes me nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they used to have one. Then if you still think that computers are there, you might just be a little bit behind.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of something. Kiyosaki was saying, what the heck would your cheap and tacky friends know if a business hit them upside the head? They wouldn't know it.
No.
So you want to take the opinion of somebody that wouldn't recognize it if they saw it standing in front of them? Come on. And that's something where we often get the opinions of others. That's why Dennis Williams talked about asking people how to get out of the box. Remember that one?
I remember something about that.
Where we're all yelling over to the next person in a box and saying, how do we get out of here? And that person gives you their opinion, but they'll never be able to tell you because the directions are written on the outside of the box.
That's right.
You've got to ask somebody who's walking by. I read a book one time by Walt Disney, or about Walt Disney and what it was like. You know the old saying where people say, you got to think out of the box. If you started saying that around the Magic Kingdom there, he'd go, shh. He didn't want his employees knowing there was a box. So you're in a position now where you've got the knowledge. And here's where it kind of like back in the old days, if you knew the world was round, you could be considered a heretic, get beat to death, and be ostracized and completely locked out of the community. But you knew that you knew that you knew. You ever feel like that when you're telling somebody about Nikan?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting story that comes out of a book by what's that guy's name? Kevin Trudeau. Anybody read that book?
Mm-hmm.
Remember what he said about the guy who, the mortality rate, why babies were being born, are dying more in hospitals, if they were born in hospitals, it's 40% higher mortality rate than if they were born on the carriage going to the hospital. 40% more of them died if they went to the hospital and were born than if they were born in the carriage on the way to the hospital.
I remember something in there, and he bought both them books with a knife to your head. I can't remember what it was, man.
Well, this guy that, there was one guy that said, you know, I'm not sure why, but in my hospital, we're going to make people wash their hands. And he pointed out that as soon as he made all the staff and the physicians wash their hands, they quit killing the babies.
Mm.
And it made the AMA so mad because somebody was telling them what to do, they took his license for 40 years. And then it came apparent after 40 years that the germ theory came out. What the doctors were doing in those days, they would do all of their own autopsies, and they would go downstairs and do autopsies with their bare hands on the cadavers and then walk upstairs and deliver the babies. And not wash their hands in between.
Mm.
And giving the babies every disease that was on the cadavers to kill them. And that was, the guy lost his license for 40 years.
Gee, what?
And that's exactly what these uncourageous people are doing. Is, see, they've been convinced by virtue of going through the system that you don't go outside. There's cooties out there. They'll eat you. And they're so afraid of the, it's like they're superstitious. They've been told that there's a giant boogeyman out there, and you do not step out of the employment ratio, and if you do, they're just going, they believe so strongly that you're completely crackers for believing that, that they will fight you to the ground to keep you from doing it.
That is amazing how people think you're an idiot. I laugh at them anymore. I used to take it to heart, but now I just laugh.
Well,
I
did.
Is what are we going to teach our distributors when they come out? How do you teach your distributors when you're the P1 leader? How not to fold to that?
Well, they did that to me when I left the last company and opened up my own. You know, it was, they did everything they could try to intimidate me to stay, and you know, tell me how ridiculous it was and what a good job I had, and you know, how I was number one in sales and all that. And it was true, I was, but you know, I still quit. And they couldn't believe it. They just couldn't believe that somebody was where I was at. And then you listen to Jim Dragon. You know, Jim Dragon was the number one salesman for the pharmaceutical company he was with until, you know, throughout the world for that one product until the patent ran out, and then all of a sudden he couldn't sell shoe polish because the patent was gone.
Did he tell that personal story on his most recent tape?
I was on an older one.
Yeah, that was on an older one. I was looking for that the other day. Where'd you guys find that?
Somebody had a couple of them laying around.
Was that me that gave them to you?
Yeah.
I gave them a ton of tapes that I found. I don't have a tape player. I was like, here, JW, go through them.
Okay, I bet you I have it on tape, too, so I'll just...
Seven truths. Yeah, I've got it out here in the car. I'm gonna get it.
Yeah, no, the Seven Truths of Deacon. I remember it well.
That's it.
But I had somebody that wanted that specific story because they had gotten whacked by their company in exactly the same way.
Well,
so now that I remember that, I will get that out and make a digital copy, and we'll be on and run here.
But you don't know how many times that happens to people.
And you guys can see that even through the course of our run with this call, we just had attrition. Look, this is more attrition than I've ever had on a call, both east or west coast and central. And yet, do you feel that that your individual belief systems have been shaken because other people have stopped coming?
Not me. No. Even if we have no one at the meetings, we keep showing up on our Wednesday at 7 and Sunday at 3 because we just keep plugging along. I don't shake at all.
No.
And I think in large measure that goes back to the original question we had on the call, and that was, do you feel mean doing that? No. What you're basically doing is you're surviving what has to be survived and doing what has to be done. And if other people have to work through various things to come to that realization and to let their old life go, they have to do it. And we can't get soft and start saying, well, you can do less and get there, because they won't. And the problem with that is we get soft, let them get through this part of it. They'll get eaten up in the next part. They will either quit or call the system bad. And that brings me right around to where we're going to go to recap what I saw this weekend. And it's that we've got people around the country who have come in and taken their shot with P1, P2, and the entire Pathfinder program and said, well, you know, I thought so. You know, it might work in those guys' hands a little bit, but we don't know for sure, and it sure didn't work for us. Well, what they did was they said, we like mostly everything and getting together and being on calls, but we really don't like the part where you make people have to do things, because that's just not neighborly, by gum. And so they would back off, modify it, and guess what? The results came out this time. The results came out because every team across the board, all the Diamonds and the Royal Diamonds and the Platinums, we were really a little bit worried whether many of them were just going to fade away and not show up. In fact, several of them didn't show up. But they all came to the realization that this works if you work it. This works if you let it stand and do the things that it's designed to do, as opposed to trying to change it. And universally, if you ask them, they'd all say, the one thing we didn't do right was we changed it. We softened it. Well, that's because they're trying to do old people instead of new. And there's some really interesting stuff about that. Greg Rooney went around and he interviewed all the players in Terry's group, and I've mentioned to you before that he's really on track with this 16 people from his original two Pathfinder teams will go platinum by August. 16 platinum. Can you imagine what will happen when they get those 16 platinums who are all trained up with no other idea on how to do this in the world, get their hands on this and just blow the world apart? And that's where it's at right now, is hanging the numbers. Because once the numbers are there, there's no denying the numbers. And I'll go through kind of a chronological order to give you a sense of what we saw. First thing was that there are some new pieces to the puzzle, and critically important pieces, because if you guys are going to start bringing people in real fast, you already have identified, because of your experience in trying to start, the one key piece that has been the monkey wrench that has prevented Nican from roaring in the last 5 years. That key piece is a misguided recruiting system where people are recruiting for one thing, they get to the meeting and see something else.
Yep.
As a result, they start to feel like this is deception, or they get confused and don't know where they're going to go or what they're doing. As a result, you guys want to go to give a presentation based on the potential of this massive engine that's coming into North America. You get there and somebody who's in your group has recruited someone based on the fact that you're going to bring them in and do a free oral surgery on Thursdays. You're ready to do a presentation, and if you don't talk about oral surgery and figuring out their menstrual problems, they're going to kick your butt, and you have to change your presentation. Or you go to a place where you fully expect them to present in a certain way. You get there, they end up, the presenters, seeing that there are prospects there who came to hear about something to do with water system for their house, and it's the only thing they want to know about in the entire universe. Your people, you bring three of them that want to see how you're going to bring this powerhouse to North America, and then that water system person will get the presenter off track and you never get back on. Can you guys agree with that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Total frustration. How can you get up and running if your people see that, because they'll just get confused and they don't know how to start, whether they started, what's up, what's down, who's on first, they don't know what's going on. So the first and foremost thing that we need to do in the long haul is to split them. They are available. They're being done in Texas this way. They're being done in Scandinavia this way, all over Nican Europe. Basically saying that the preview itself, you either have a sales-oriented wellness home walkthrough, or you have a business meeting. When you take your prospect, after a couple of cycles of these things, if you've got one that's a product-oriented prospect, and by virtue of timing has to go to a business-oriented meeting, you can tell them, we know that you're really very interested in your knee reconstruction and you can hardly get around the office and that's what you're here for. We will definitely cover that after the initial part is over. The initial part's going to be 40 minutes long or 45. It's going to cover a general theoretical knowledge of the whole picture. That should be valuable to you, and then we'll rock right into getting what your knee problem was. But at least you're clear on describing to them what they're going to get, and you feel better and they feel better. See how that works?
Yep.
On the other
hand, you got to explain that at the beginning of your meeting if you see people there that you really don't recognize or don't know why they're there.
Yeah, you're going to, that's exactly right. You're going to say, this is the purpose of the meeting. At the end of the meeting, we can talk about various other things, but our job here is to cover this at this time. So thank you for doing that. Hold your questions till later. We'll get to that when we get to the end. 95% of your questions should be answered through the presentation, and off you go. Make sense?
Perfect.
If we split them, it finally makes sense. Some of the greatest stuff I learned at that event was from Morten Andersen in Europe. And if you guys want to get a sense that we just moved into professional, go to the European Pathfinders website.
European?
It's called PathfindersEurope.com. And go to the UK English speaking part. Here's the perspective. This guy came into Neken a couple of years back. He's got a very interesting story how he got there. Met some lady in a booth and didn't want to have anything to do with her, and she hornswoggled him, and he listened to the story and felt the shoe inserts looking for something else to do. His other business had gone bankrupt. And he said, if it ever comes to my country, get in touch with me. 2 years later, came to his country, and he became bigger than Wolfgang for his first 2 years. Then his business began to tail off, just like Wolfgang's did after a while. Then he found Pathfinders. Came to one of the events, saw it clearly, went back, was granted by Rick, presidentship of Pathfinders Europe, and you won't believe what you're going to see. One of the things they have on there that's pretty neat is in the UK site, you can download kind of the equivalent to Welcome to Pathfinders, a group of people kind of giving their perspective on what it was like to go through the P1 group, and you can just listen to it on their website there. But when you see his website, you're going to see some things that we haven't seen done here yet. He has a skill that's going to help us immensely. And we're going to work with Morten for our team to add some critical pieces to the understanding of how all this fits together. Once you guys see that, TJ, I know you're just going
to... Oh, I'm already on the site.
You're going to crap little green apples, man.
Look, is this Life Mastering in English?
It is, yes. And you know what Life Mastering is? It's pretty interesting. It's something he poked in there in the empty spaces. Here's what I mean by empty spaces. We have P2. It's a great way to orient you and develop you into a regional leader. You're now breaking silvers. You know how to go gold and beyond. We have P1. Teaching you what you did to get to silver and how to get the basics of network marketing and put yourself into a disciplined strategy and be around other people and get recognition from people who are actually doing it. There's a lot in P1. We have the Ignition Sequence Guide, which has now been improved a lot, in my opinion, in many different ways. But we were missing that create the key ingredients, the two most important ingredients. Number one, making sure we can teach people how to dream. And number two, how to get started prospecting friends and neighbors immediately. So one of the perspectives that's really Rick was pushing and kind of a universal agreement is that Pathfinders itself, the class, the thing you're going through right now, the reason we're sitting on two in this class right now is because life, for some, I mean, there's a couple of them who are justifiably just, you just have to make that priority change. And we really expect to see two or three of those during the course of it. Others, though, didn't ever get the sense of hooking a fish. They got in and started learning before they had anybody in, and so they stopped recruiting, imagining they had to learn more and more and more and more over time. So that life mastery thing is kind of a get yourself out of the way, like Danny Johnson talks about, get yourself out of the way. You're not the message. Get over it. Your prospect does not care whether your dad was mean to you when you were five. It doesn't have any bearing on your overall success unless you make it have bearing on your overall success. The prospect does not care. It's not even there. So that's partly what life mastering is all about. It's an extension of humans being more training. The part that's more useful to us here at this point without having that is what are we going to do when somebody walks in bright, brand new, just fresh off the street, and they go out and try to interest other people? What do we have that they can use to learn how to prospect right out of the chute?
The Ignition Sequence Launch.
Does that teach them to prospect or to plug in?
That teaches them to plug in.
So you see how there's a void underneath that. We built the house from the top down, and remember when you first got into P1, maybe with this group it was a little less frustrating, but for most groups, they start out and they're not learning how to prospect people. They're learning to get their five and freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to try to is to stick these prospects, is that this prospecting concept in there. How about maybe some of the script work that we're doing and some of the things that we're really focusing on that teach people literally to go to work and be a functional prospector right from the get-go?
Yeah, teach them how to be a prospect before you plug them into P1?
Yes. In other words, okay, maybe have two or three or four people in your organization before you go into P1.
So are you suggesting we buy this Life Mastering Web TV or whatever it is?
I have no idea yet. In that part, I just don't know.
Have you got on it and paid the fee?
What's that?
Have you got on it and paid the fee?
No, I only just saw it 15 minutes before we got on this call.
Oh, and this is what you said.
I didn't even know it existed. I talked to him at great length over there about some of the things that they're doing that I really think we needed to add here. And the key is, when you look at that site, this was just a guy who was doing Niken that decided that he was going to rewrite all the materials in different languages and come up with websites that made sense. Can you see he did a fair amount of work?
Yeah.
So what he's doing and what you're suggesting then is taking the new people out and helping them to prospect to where they can get three or four or five or six people underneath of them and where they're comfortable of, and then going to P1 to learn to how to be a leader and how to teach the duplication of going further.
Sure. Can you imagine that people will come along that know every word of every C CD and tape and every book and be eloquent at playing them back to the group, but have never really mastered the ability to instill in somebody a belief that they should join them so they don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
And they
so are you suggesting a pre-P1 call? Is that, or?
I think, well, if there's pre-P1 activities.
Okay.
And those pre-P1 activities are all about being in people's lives to teach them that if they do know how to network or to hold their hand and walk through the stuff Dave Johnson's always told us.
But is this going to be, I guess where I'm going, is this going to be something that you're going to offer, Joe? Is this something that we're going to take out here and say, you need to read this book or you need to, you know, we need to be a little bit more specific about the CDs and DVDs that we're actually giving to people and encourage them and show them how to prospect?
Well, that's a key component of it. What we need to do, if you, well, let's say, for example, you sponsor somebody, it's on-the-job training. You immediately turn around and say, yeah, here's your ignition sequence launch and here's your video. I'll let you use them if you give me 3 appointments. Let's go get them. They watch you do it.
I think that is important, kind of jump-starting them.
Because, see, most people in network marketing don't know how to prospect themselves. They're afraid of it. And so they sign somebody up and say, geesh, I hope you get it, because I'm really chicken of this doggone thing. And then they hide in the corner, and then the new person hasn't got a clue what we do or how we start. But you guys now, because you've gone through your Pathfinder class, because you know how to go out and talk to people, you can't just sign people up and expect them to do it. You have to go with them. And if you go with them and start doing the same things over and over again, which is what people complain about when they go with Terry, or they complain about when they go with Dave Johnson, you didn't say 3 words different than the last time we went out. I'm getting real bored of sitting here watching you do the presentation. It's my turn. Or would you hate somebody to say that?
No, not at all.
Well, I took Johnny out. You know, Johnny, you know, and I took him out prospecting. We just went to the mall wandering around talking to people. And, you know, when we got done, Johnny said, well, you sure I'd do that? I said, well, but what did I do? You know, what did I do? He said, well, you just went and talked to him like you knew him. He said, okay, that was the key.
Yeah, so
we'll have to find out about him.
If we could stuff that in there, that's the piece that's been missing. What if they can do that part and say, psh, got that. I can do that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Then you won't get the people who really just tie themselves up in a knot about getting their 5. And that's one of the things that we're going to have to be very careful in the future to do, is to make sure that people, and I've tried it, and we still haven't got over the hump on it, people come in and they think being in this group is 100% about coming in complete or incomplete, having 5 or not having 5, not about this is going to teach you how to lead for the future, prepare the tracks for somebody else to run on, believe in yourself and believe that the system exists for your people to become or to get home. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about whether you're going to be embarrassed coming next week because you weren't able to get 5 names on a list. That's totally and completely anti-productive, because you'll get this entire group of people that'll never sponsor anybody because all they're trying to get, look, man, you just got to tick this tape and tell me no so I can get that thing ticked off and I can get 5 of them. So we've got to step it up. We've got to say, what do we want? What we want is we want to look in people's eyes and say, if you truly are at a point in your life where you know that you have to, want to, and got to make a difference, that you're going to lift yourself up no matter what it takes and you want to get on it, I have a vehicle that any human being on the planet, if they follow through with it, can make whatever they want. I have no idea if that's for you. I don't know where your timing is, but I've got that thing sitting right here. We've got a total belief in it. That's really, then they know, they can tell their friends, whatever, man, you just got to see it. I can't even describe it, you just got to see it. Bring it to the people who can tell the story. And they all of a sudden they know, okay, got that part down. This recruiting or this prospecting stuff is nothing. So we're going to fill that piece in. We're going to become very good at doing that. But we're going to walk them through with hand in hand doing that. Then the rest of it makes sense. Finally, the rest of it makes sense. Well, there's some really, really, really amazing stuff coming.
Excellent.
And what I want your homework assignment to be is the new ignition sequence launch is very much easier for a brand new prospect to use and very much more oriented toward the actual launch materials. It would be good for you to get to know that. Also, no variances in the preview, and this is based on what we saw with Brody Craney's group. He stood up there with seven people, and I think over two-thirds of them have gotten performance bonuses. Most of them haven't been in NECAN more than a year, year and a half. They know nothing else except how to start with this program. And he would pass the microphone back and forth, say, what was your life like before you had the ignition sequence guide? Every meeting we went to was different. Or before you had the ABC guide, or before you had the wellness preview guide. Every meeting we went to was different. We never knew what to predict. We knew that when we put people in there, they'd be coming out confused. We just didn't know what we didn't know. We were just frustrated and confused, and nobody knew where to go next. What happened after you started using the thing over and over and over again? At first, people thought they should be cutesy and add new things to it, but it didn't work, so they'd come back. Then before very long, those people would see that the thing, if you used it and you spoke it, it would work. They began to use it over and over again. The thing worked. Now, one guy was saying he gave it to one girl. She said, can I borrow that for 2 or 3 days? He said, until we get together next time. She signed up, borrowed the deal. And by the time they met the next time, she'd already sponsored 3 people because all she did was to just read through the ABC guide. Even if the guy that did it said, I hated learning the ABC guide. It seemed so stupid for me to stand there and read it. And it just seemed like people nowadays would think that was some canned salesman thing and they wouldn't like it. And he says, now I never avoid using it because I would have missed that girl. I would have missed all these people that are growing in my business who say, hey, move over, I'll do that. And he doesn't have to do all the work. So let's go to really studying that stuff well and implementing it so we can make complete and total interchangeable parts. Even if we think it's dumb, let's implement it. Implement it on lots of people because we can turn them over very quickly nowadays. If you don't believe it, hang around TJ. If I say, just use expendable people, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. You can do 4 of those in a day, no problem. Why? Because you can make 80 of them tomorrow. It's awesome. All right, Midwest, proud of you. And our beards are getting grizzly as we're banging around through the wilderness to get to the final chapters of this thing. It's about hanging the numbers. It's about bringing people into the fold. And we're going to start picking that up in great speed. So are you with me?
With you.
All right. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, man.